Hi, it's Jeff, host of the podcast. My latest author interview will be up in just one moment. I'm not going to ask you to buy anything. I'm not going to ask you to go and review the podcast. What I am going to do is take just one brief moment and ask you to recommend the podcast to just one friend. If you're a writer, or if you're someone who just loves books and you love this podcast and the interviews that I do, all that I ask is that you recommend the podcast to just one friend. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is bestselling writer Eve Chase, author of the new novel, The Birdcage. Writer Sarah Vaughan wrote about The Birdcage. Eve Chase never disappoints. Immersive, tense, and ultimately redemptive. While I was reading, it held me completely in its grip. Eve, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your new novel, The Birdcage, how would you describe the novel?
It's set in Cornwall on the Atlantic coast, which is a very wild area of Cornwall. And three half-sisters were invited back to this house that they haven't been for 20 years, and they share an artist's father, and they all have different mothers who have had some overlap with the artist's father. So there's a lot of complication, a lot of background, sort of rivalry and sort of sibling love and rivalry. And they go back to this house where a terrible thing happened 20 years before, and it's that legacy really, and dealing with it in the present day.
And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write The Birdcage?
I do, because I was really interested by the idea of three half-sisters, you know, like, because it interests me about how we all, as siblings, we all remember our childhood differently, and we all recall, you know, events, especially traumatic events, differently, and yet your experience of it is so different. And I thought that actually by having three half-sisters, that's exaggerated further, because you have the mother's, input as well, especially if that's quite acrimonious. So that's what I started with. And I was trying to think of a way of sort of bringing them together and what would blow them apart, what would bring them together. It's kind of like a family on steroids, really.
Well, I wonder if you could take us back. What was your initial writing journey that led you to write and get your first novel published?
Well, I studied English literature at university, and then I became postgrad in journalism. And I used to write features for newspapers and magazines and worked in magazines. And I absolutely loved that. And then I always wanted to write a book. And when I had my first, I've got three children. When I had my first child, I remember thinking, well, I've got to do it now. Otherwise, I had these visions of just not being able to write at all. So I thought, I'll start on maternity leave. That's what I'll do. And of course, my eldest came like 7 weeks early, so that scuppered that. But I did start writing quite soon after he was born, and I wrote under the name Polly Williams. So I wrote more sort of lighter, more comic books actually as Polly Williams. And then I felt that ultimately that wasn't really the sort of stories I wanted to write, and so the Eve Chase books were very much a little bit more literary, darker. And it really felt like I'd sort of arrived at the story I wanted to tell with my first book, Black Rabbit Hall, as an Eve Chase book.
That's great. Well, I'm curious, what is your writing process when you're working on a novel? Like, for example, The Birdcage. When you sat down, you had this idea that you mentioned earlier about the three half-sisters. Did you outline the book before you started writing? How much of the idea did you have in mind of the finished book, or did you just jump into the narrative?
I do outline quite sort of, I say vaguely. I kind of know how it begins, and I know the middle, and I know the end, and I know the characters. I feel like the characters need to be nailed down before you start, and that their backstory has to be nailed down, because that's often what drives their behaviour. And so I don't do chapter by chapter outline, but I have to know that what the characters want and what's stopping them getting what they want. Because there's nothing worse, and I have done this, and starting on a story and then just sort of running out of steam about 20,000 words and going, oh no, nobody wants anything enough. You know, there's not enough of the stakes aren't high enough. So I do try and push myself on that, and, you know, in my notebook, and ask myself those really difficult questions. I find them quite hard to answer sometimes, because you can really fall in love with the character, but actually you sort of think, actually, they're not going to work. This isn't the book for them. This isn't the story for them. So I did, yeah. I did know the characters of the three sisters pretty well before I started, and the structure of the book. But beyond that, I just write on kind of on the hoof. And I do get my best ideas when I'm actually within the flow of writing. So I sort of resist writing too much down beforehand.
Got it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you working on another novel now?
I am. Actually, I'm writing a synopsis for a new novel, and that I find that incredibly hard because that's really sort of detailed outline. You really have to make, and it has to be really smooth, and you have to kind of sell it at the same time, really. And I think for a writer like me who's quite a natural storyteller but likes things unfold as I write, the narrative is really sort of imprinted on your brain, and I can go quite quickly then.
Do you ever toss the synopsis aside when you get into the novel and start having other ideas?
Yes. Yes. And I look at things about all that time I spend on it. But you have to, you just have to use you trust your gut as well, I think. And if a brilliant idea occurs to you, you'd mad not to follow it, just to sort of stick with your outline when it can be improved. So sort of constantly looking at better ways of telling the story. And I think also when you're writing, I think it's almost like sort of music. You have a rhythm, you know, you hear the rhythm of the book and you know exactly at what point the chapter should end and begin. And actually those things, they kind of dictate the story quite more perhaps than one realizes when you're writing it out. So it's not so sequential when you're actually writing it, because you can move from different points of view.
Right. Well, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
I think what had been useful for me, and what is still useful for me, actually. I think the interesting thing about being a writer is that you're always, beginning of a new book, you're a new writer again. It doesn't really get any easier. Sorry. Every time you start, you have to reinvent the wheel. So, I think what I try and remind myself is that actually sort of self-doubt is part of the process. And I always get to about 30,000 words. I think, well, just great. And then what happens? And you're kind of looking at that, the middle part of the book is really tricky. Because so much, it's got to, you know, you can't lose the reader at that point. And it's got to be really, really tight. But I think those are bits that actually tend to be really saggy on first draft. So I think my advice would be to keep going, get to the ends of the first manuscript. And then you get to the fun bit when you can kind of edit and move things around. But actually a lot of it is really almost like a physical thing. You really have to sit at your desk and get those, you know, 80,000, 90,000 words down on the screen. I think that's the hardest bit.
That's great. Well, what books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Gosh, I have read, what have I read recently? I should have prepared. I'll tell you one reading is Sarah Winman's Still Life, which is a beautiful sort of optimistic book sort of set in Italy. And it's just really lovely. I was reading a lot of thrillers and I was finding, I love thrillers, but I suddenly thought, oh God, I really need to read something kind of more buoyant and happier. and yeah, I think sometimes you can kind of overdose on thrillers. And I've also been reading up quite a lot of nonfiction as research for my new story. So books about the south of France. And again, they are quite sort of, you know, you go to sleep with the visions of sort of lavender fields in your head rather than anything else. So
lot different than a thriller.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novels?
I am online at my handle is Eve Polly Chase, and you can find me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I always respond to readers. So I love hearing from readers. It's a real treat, actually. Makes it all worthwhile hearing from readers. Oh, somebody, because there's a sort of abstract nature of writing a book, and then which is the reader doesn't really feel very, very real in a way.
Sure. Well, again, we've been speaking with Eve Chase, author of the new novel, The Birdcage. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Eve, thanks for doing this interview.
Thanks so much. Great to talk to
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.